All right, here we are. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the House of the Risen Sun with Bruce Rawls and Lynn Johnson. And I'm here with Bruce, and both of us are back home in Colorado this week. And we are looking at FACIM Outreach question number 1226. And so I did put, I think, the link into the room if you all want to follow along with us. And good morning, Bruce. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I don't think I've ever been busier, I'll relate a quick story on that momentarily. But I'm well. And yourself?
I'm well too. I'm really busy myself, and having just quit my job at the end of last month, it seems like I would be, you know, footloose and fancy free. But no, I guess that's not in the cards for me either. So what's going on with you?
Well, I've been back in Colorado not even a month, and during last week, my wife and I went out to visit some dear friends in the Portland area. Three different couples that we've known for years did a convoy sort of thing from Northern California to Southern Oregon. And then two of the couples that we knew when we lived in Eagle Point and Ashland, Oregon, moved up to the Portland area. And, during this time, the third couple moved to build a house on the coast. So we thought, we'll go visit them. My wife had made a trip out there a year and a half or so ago, but I'd never seen their place. So we thought, well, let's go down and take a look. And oh, by the way, there's a place that's, just literally a stone's throw down the hill from them that's for sale and that we might want to look at, because they knew that we were thinking eventually to, you know, get back to the West Coast and be somewhere within a day's drive of the Bay Area and places like that. So we ended up looking at this place and really liked it. And the short story is that we made an offer a couple days ago and it was accepted. And so we have a realtor coming to list this place. So we're going to be short time Coloradans.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, so that's my little newsy item of the dreamscape du jour. And so we're both really thrilled about it. We have lots to do, but it's kind of fun and exciting. And so anyway.
Well, that's kind of sad, because I know there's a lot of people in that Denver community that
there
are,
and I want to try to visit. Exactly. Try to visit with as many people as I can and continue the conversations just that we are doing and have done through like last year when I was in California online. So I anticipate that continuing. And in fact, I was just looking at Yahat's internet providers, which is the little wide spot in the road where we're moving. And so anyway, so if anybody's out on the West Coast and passing through, look us up and meet for lunch or something or whatever.
So this is in Oregon?
Yeah.
Near Portland?
Well, it's about 3 hours from Portland, and it's about 9 hours from the Bay Area, and it's on the coast, and my wife and I've wanted to live on the coast for a long time, and just it's kind of like, well, wouldn't it be nice someday, you know? And we found this place that we both really liked. It's like, let's jump on this. So we did. And so anyway, so that's what's in the works right now. So anyway, and it's what a great, you know, classroom, of course, as always, in forgiving ourselves for expectations. And, you know, we all have those things. So yesterday's classroom exercise for my wife was the four of us, my wife and I and a couple who we share a duplex with here are dear, dear friends. And so it's been particularly hard for my wife and the next door neighbor lady, because they've got to be very, very close friends. And so my wife broke the news to her yesterday. And so they're working through that stuff. Aww. So the challenge, of course, is to remember that we're always in each other's hearts, no matter where our physical projections seem to be. Huh?
Well, yeah. And for me, it's thinking about that you can never be apart from anyone, no matter what.
Exactly.
No matter, even death can't part us, and we still are in communion with those who have passed, who are, you know, I mean, it's not because that it's the character that is no longer within our view, or we can't communicate with, but the reality of the person is always there. And, you know, it always, you know, the longing that you have to be with the people that you love is the natural longing of the Son of God for his brothers. And so the idea, you know, that we are even able to be separated has to be proven wrong. We have to actually see that it's impossible for us to be separate. And, you know, it's coming more and more and more that we're beginning to see, as the manual for teachers says, that, you know, that we see that my interests are not separate from yours. Our interests are the same, and that we
exactly.
have the same needs. We're the same organic being. And so as we, you know, begin to really see that and want that more and more and more, it does bring us together closer and closer. And eventually, I mean, the truth and reality is that we have never been separated and never will be. So, you know, there is no Oregon coast or Colorado mountains to keep us apart. We are together and always will be.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And as you say, that's really our task, and I think that's where our forgiveness classroom comes in, is we forgive the thought system that made up the belief in differences, which includes the outer shield of oblivion, as it's is referred to in A Course in Miracles, the projection of space and time and bodies and personas and all that stuff that seems to make differences real. And so our curriculum then is to forgive ourselves for believing that was even possible to choose, and then watching as the ego responses come up and identifying less and less and less with those. And by so doing, we not only you know, feel peaceful more often because we recognize that we're all interconnected, and then that interconnectedness becomes a bridge or a mechanism by which we return our mind to the oneness that we never left. So
that's it, exactly. and you know, it's only through these practices that is made possible. So that's why even you know, studying the text or doing the lessons, or, you know, I've been seeing a lot in the manual for teachers, really looking a lot at things in there, and the psychotherapy pamphlet, the Song of Prayer. These are all instructional, you know, materials that are meant to lead us to this remembering of our oneness with God and with our brothers. And yet, I've seen a lot lately, I guess it's always been since the Course came out, that people are using it to keep themselves apart from each other, arguing over the various concepts. And, you know, and if someone doesn't agree with their particular concept or their particular version of the Course, or, you know, the particular teacher that they decided to follow, then, you know, they're at each other's throats, like, you know, Donald Trump is with Hillary Clinton. Like, hello, this is a Course in Miracles here, not a course in, you know, one-upmanship. And, you know, who got the notes out of Helen's underwear drawer? They have a special dispensation that no one else knows anything about. You know, really, it's just the same thing as the world. And we in the Course community are so easily fall into it. But you know, it's just always going back to that thing. You know, we're here for the same purpose. Uh-huh. We're here for the same purpose. And so this question you picked today, 1226, is talking about gratitude. And this is something that I really have looked a lot at, because so many times, Course in Miracles students, as well as, you know, everyone else in the world who has a superstitious belief about God or about what is, will be thankful to God for things of which God has no notion, mm-hmm. and for which God has no responsibility, and which really are things that we're being thankful for that are keeping us in the dream. And we're thanking God for them over and over and over again. And so I'm really interested in the answer to this question.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one thing I actually haven't read this because I've been a little busy, but I always like the topic of gratitude. And I'm really glad that you prefaced it with what you just said, Lynn, because I think that the Course in Miracles turns around just about everything that we have, our typical ego notions of how things are and work in the world. And gratitude is no exception, of course, because as you point out, real gratitude, if it's based on anything that changes with time or space or circumstance, can't be real gratitude. It's just a fake substitute that will never satisfy us. And so that kind of, if you want to call it ego gratitude, you know, there's nothing wrong with being thankful for things that seem to be happening. I'm, you know, quote unquote grateful for, the opportunity to move to the coast and live in a house that looks over the ocean. You know, that's going to be fun. But at the same time, I'm also recognizing that kind of gratitude is not anything that is going to make me or my wife or anybody else happy, truly. And that the real peace that I'm looking for and that everyone is looking for has nothing to do with space or time or geography or any particulars that we could keep on, you know, the dream that we're in. Because if A Course in Miracles is worth its salt,
did I lose you? Oh no!
Oops! Here we go. Okay. I think I bumped my mute button accidentally. Okay. Did you catch that last?
You said worth its salt was the last thing I heard.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if A Course in Miracles is for real, and I'm finding more and more that it is, then how could gratitude based on anything outside of us, you know, be applicable? It really is, can be a reminder or reflection at best, but sometimes things in the dream, according to the script, work out seemingly in our favor, and sometimes they seemingly do not. So it's obviously not about that. It has to be about what is unchanging and what is immutable, unalterable. And I think that's where the Course's notion of gratitude is again completely different, just as it is with every other ego thought, from the everyday notions that we have in the world about gratitude. And so we can afford to be grateful for the awareness that allows us to choose against the thought system of insanity and for the thought system of inclusion that then leads us closer and closer to the oneness we never left.
So. There, yeah, exactly. And the gratitude, you know, I think about there's people that are really fond of this song, which I think is really a sweet song too. It's called A Wonderful World, and Louis Armstrong sings it, and a lot of other people.
Right. Sure.
Okay. But you listen to that song and, you know, looking at the, you know, what is the world? The world was made as an attack on God, and all these things that I'm looking at and being thankful for and grateful for are things that are really made to prevent me from connecting to God. Uh-huh. The whole idea of you know, everything that is here in this physical world is really made to divert my attention from my reality and to keep me firmly entrenched in this illusion. And so when I'm being grateful for things in the illusion, I'm being grateful for the thing that's keeping me from seeing my own divinity, or keeping me from seeing the divinity of my brothers. And not to say that it's not wonderful, because, you know, we made it, and of course we made it to satisfy our own desire for a world outside of heaven. But the reason I see myself being grateful for the most part, for any of it, is that I'm grateful that things haven't gone completely to hell and that there is still hope that something good could happen. You know, right. Even if I won the lottery, it'd be like, oh man, I'm grateful I won the lottery because now I don't have to worry about money for a while. But then, you know, it's going to bring about all these other issues and problems and concerns and fears, and it doesn't matter what it is that happens in this world. It's only going to lead to more disaster unless I actually can turn it around and practice forgiveness and find the truth of it. And I don't know if it says this in this article, but, you know, I'm sure it may. In one of the lessons, it says the only thing that you should have gratitude for is that God still remembers who you are.
Uh-huh.
That everything else, you know, because that's our only hope. Is that,
and it's not even a who. Who is just a placeholder idea. Is probably a little bit closer, but even that sort of implies a dualistic concept of personhood that's separate from some other aspect of oneness, you know, and yet that's that's what is really preventing us from feeling true gratitude that could never change. So one quick thing before we read the FAQ, since you mentioned the supplements a few moments ago, I was just going to put in a little plug, I guess you could say, or announcement for people that might not know this, that in addition to the other, 25, 26 languages that the course has been translated in, since I've been working on a new version of the Foundation for Inner Peace website, having fun with that, and we're getting closer all the time. Still not quite ready to share, you know, and bring it online, but we're getting real close. During the interim, in the last short while, there are now supplements, the Song of Prayer and the Psychotherapy pamphlet in Arabic, which is kind of cool. So now that the entire Arabic world, at least doesn't have the entire course, but there was a grant, I guess, made by some people in Jordan, from what I understand correctly. Anyway, they basically sponsored the translation of the Arabic supplements of A Course in Miracles. And so those are available now on the Foundation for Inner Peace website, which is acim.org. So if you know anybody who's an Arabic speaker, voila. Here's something to begin with, you know, and the supplements, of course, because everything is interconnected and it's a holographic teaching, you could read the supplements, even though that's probably not the conventional place to start, but you'd get a feel for what the course is about and until such time as the rest of the course is translated. So,
well, right. And the perfection of everything is that is probably exactly what they need. That probably is exactly what they'll be able to understand. Not that they wouldn't be able to understand it, but that it would be something that connects to their already previous belief system in a way that they'll be able to look at and say, oh, okay, you know, I can understand this. Where maybe the course text itself or even the lessons might be seen as something in accordance with their personal beliefs. Maybe the supplements are exactly what they need, or else, you know, that's the reason it worked out that way.
Who knows? Yeah, I completely get what you're saying, and my immediate response is, who knows? But
yeah,
sure. I mean, I've kind of brought back to that place. I think it's also in one of the lessons, anyway, is you would have to, maybe it's manual. I think it is, yeah, it's how is judgment relinquished? And you'd have to become aware of, you know, an inconceivably wide range of things in order to make an accurate assessment of what quote unquote good or bad might come of something, or, you know, what is it for, kind of thing.
Right.
So, but the one thing that we can judge is it's all for forgiveness, and everyone in truth is innocent, having never left that perfect oneness. So. Anyway, should we read the FAQ?
Let's read one. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to read the question?
Sure. I'll read the question and then
first paragraph.
On the first paragraph. Okay.
Okay.
So the question is very short. Please discuss gratitude and A Course in Miracles. Can we be truly grateful for anything more than the opportunity to forgive? And that's a good question. Can we be truly grateful for anything other than more than the opportunity to forgive. Uh-huh. So what the answer says, if by gratitude for the opportunity to forgive, you mean being grateful to each other for these opportunities, you have touched upon the essence of A Course in Miracles, which is forgiveness. In a recorded workshop called Our Gratitude to God, Ken discusses gratitude on three levels: our gratitude to God, to Jesus, and to each other. Just as forgiveness is the correction for the unforgiveness we feel, gratitude, too, is a correction. It corrects the ingratitude we feel on these three levels. Okay, so I just want to stop right here because I think this is really, kind of the crux of the answer. Just as forgiveness is the correction for the unforgiveness we feel, gratitude, too, is a correction. It corrects the ingratitude we feel on these three levels. So the ingratitude we feel to God, the ingratitude we feel to Jesus, and the ingratitude we feel to each other.
Uh-huh.
All of those are corrected through forgiveness. And really, I mean, that's the only problem. So we're not doing that. It corrects the ingratitude we feel on these three levels, and when our ingratitude is corrected, the need for gratitude disappears. This has nothing to do with Jesus or God needing our gratitude. It is just another dimension in which the process of undoing the ego system, undoing the ego thought system in our minds. If ingratitude is seen as a cornerstone of the ego system, basically going hand in hand with judgment, attack, fear, and guilt, then love must come when we undo the ingratitude and allow ourselves to feel grateful to each other, to Jesus, and to God. Because love has been hidden behind the ingratitude. Ingratitude is like a veil, and therefore when the veil is gone, the love of God can be experienced. So this is a big thing. This is gratitude. And I just had never really looked at it this way.
It's very well stated, isn't it?
It is really beautifully stated. But I felt it and I know it because it particularly with other people, which, that's my main experience, and I haven't really looked at my ingratitude to God or to Jesus, because I'm thinking I'm perfectly grateful to them, and, nothing has ever gone wrong with that, but apparently it has. but the ingratitude toward my brothers, that I definitely see on a daily basis, because there are a lot of brothers that I just do not appreciate at all. And so the idea of
really?
Having gratitude to them for, anything that they appear to be presenting to me is absurd, right? I mean, let's just look at the current situation politically in the United States. The only part of it that we're hearing anything about anyway,
right.
Not the entire election, which there's lots and lots and lots of stuff going on, but just this one, two figureheads that are battling each other for this prize of the presidency. And, I watch and I listen and, I do have actually gratitude to, I've been finding myself being grateful to Donald Trump a lot because what he's been showing me is the depth of the hatred in my own heart for intolerance and fear. And, I'm just looking and saying, oh, my God, I can't stand that man. Look what terrible things he's saying. And, I was just talking about some guy that came in the room here and was posting a bunch of really terrible stuff in the room. And, I was like shocked and, kick the guy out and, send him a message and tell him that's inappropriate. And, I never once thought, wow, I should be grateful to this guy because he's really showing me something in my own mind that is actually much worse than anything he said here. because what's in my own mind is a rush to judgment and a hatred for an intolerance for something that is just a concept. Intolerance for something that's just a symbol. And that intolerance is leading me to be less than loving and kind to my brothers and myself. And therefore, if I can see this and I can actually address that, then of course I should be grateful to the guy because, you know, he's pointed out something. He's given me something to look at that would have been hidden probably maybe the rest of my life if I hadn't have had that provocation. So I'm not saying people should provoke us on purpose. I'm just saying if people provoke me, it's because I need to look at something in myself and I should be grateful to them. They've saved me. That he is my salvation. As insane as that may sound.
Everyone is, because we're all in, even though we don't usually look at it that way, if the very first principle of miracles that there's no order of difficulty among them is true, then, which it is, then that also means that even people that we totally admire, that's also a veiled grievance, because the special love really is veiling the special hate. But we need to get beyond both of those ego, fixations and identifications, not by brute forcing it from the ego, but by looking at that with compassion for our mind and seeing that demonizing demonizers doesn't make us happy, and being intolerant of intolerant people doesn't do it either. I mean, you know, so
it's hypocrisy.
It's basically saying as long as I object to something in my world and make a big deal out of it, I'm making the dream real and I'm identifying with it, and we don't really have to even understand, you know, the depth of the cause of that, which is just totally silly, ludicrous. I love how Ken Wapnick keeps coming back to the idea that it's not sinful or wicked or evil. It's just silly. And of course the ego loves to paint it as, you know, a shameful, guilt-ridden, choice in the mind, because that perpetuates insanely its thought system of separation. But as soon as we see it as neutral, the body is neutral, the world is neutral, and the ego, which also is nothing, is neutral, then it has no power over our decision-making mind, and we're restored to the peace that we never left. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And that is that entire process that you just mentioned is exactly, it's salvation.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's done. So this is a way, you know, if we're using this to look at our minds, then we are really very much ahead. And I'm going to read something Dove has posted here in the room because I think
sure.
it's really cool.
Sure.
It says, Donald just wears his ego on his sleeve, where most men hide it under the dark cornerstones of the mind.
Bingo.
Strong egos build tall buildings and put their names on it.
But we do the same thing with all of our stories, don't we?
That's our
own personal Trump Tower. Is basically every time we make a big deal about a grievance, or why is this happening to me, or making a big deal of things that seem to be going right. You know, if it basically makes differences real, in either a quote positive or quote negative way, then that's our little Trump Tower that we're in. And I think we mentioned this last week or the week before, that there's a really wonderful article on projection and that sort of thing that I posted on ACIM blog on the related to the conversation we had either, I think it was either last week or the week before, that's by D. Patrick Miller about Trump
that's
and self-hatred. It's really well done. It's about projection.
But I have to leave for just a second and keep going,
sure.
though.
I'll fill it. So I'm going to just go ahead and read the second paragraph of this really excellent article. And for those of you who may have just jumped in a moment ago, this is question 1226, which is, you know, basically a discussion of gratitude in A Course in Miracles. And the rhetorical question is, can we be truly grateful for anything more than the opportunity to forgive? And this is from the FACMOutreach.org. And this is the Foundation for A Course in Miracles Frequently Asked Questions, which you can go to FACIM.org and then click on the resources that they have there. And then a few clicks and you'll be there. But it's, if you can't find it, just let us know. We'll you can get there. And then Lynn put the link in the room if you're listening live. So I'm going to just read the second paragraph of this. It says, in brief, the gratitude the Course asks us to feel toward each other is not for what you do for me, or which is we would think of as a positive thing, or for the miserable way you have treated me, which we would think of as something negative. Of course, the positive and negative are just polarities of the dream, aren't they? Because we believe that there's something other than perfect oneness, and that insane belief led to this entire experience of space and time and bodies and quarks to quasars and everything in between. but that's, it becomes our classroom. That's our way out. And like Lynn was saying a moment ago, is if we didn't have the experience of the feedback, and I love the word feedback because it basically reminds us that it's a response or a secondary in a situation that is in response to or a reaction to what has already occurred as a decision in our mind. So once we see that there's a feedback element and see it as that, as being nothing more than the reflection of a decision in our mind, then that does two things. It lets the quote-unquote other person off the hook. And I think if we really can kind of rise above the battleground and see that whole feedback mechanism playing out, it basically removes us from the hit list of the wrath of the ego. Because if it's just a game that we're playing, we can stop identifying with it. It doesn't mean that we're immediately going to stop judging people or having knee-jerk reactions when there's in our minds, as a mixed metaphor, to when people come up, you know, on the radio or TV that we say, what? You know, but it does mean that we can start to, you know, and gradually increase our lack of identification with the insanity and the differences and start identifying with the sameness, that we're all in the same boat, and a true compassion. I was going to mention, for anyone who hasn't seen it, we watched sort of a documentary, a lot of wonderful candid material of the family of anyway, the movie's called He Named Me Malala, and it's about this Afghani girl who basically was shot by the Taliban.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I just posted the thing about her on my Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful film. If you haven't seen it, you can get, we just got it through Netflix and watched it the other evening. And you could tell that she really gets the idea of forgiveness on a deep level because, you know, she was asked, you know, what she thought of the people who attacked her and several of the other girls in the classroom that where they were basically blowing up these classrooms in Afghanistan and I'm not going to attempt to paraphrase what she said, but it was really, really beautiful. And you could tell that she realized that if she perpetuated the cycle of attack, that she would be, again, just as we've been talking about, would have nothing to be grateful for one thing, but she would be continuing the ego's insane strategy of attack and defense and that vicious cycle that can be broken any time when we just, you know, choose against the craziness of differences and rise above the battleground, see the oneness, see that we're all in the same boat, and then we have a reason and a true reason to feel grateful, because each of those reflections gives us that classroom, just as her classroom was a very, very seemingly challenging one. We all have those challenges where we think that something is blowing up, you know, or attacking us. And yet that is really just a way to look at the contents of our mind, where we made up a system that was impossible to sustain. in the environmental movement, they talk about sustainability. Well, this world, or at least the aspects of this world that we want to try to maintain, it's not sustainable. It really is not sustainable. But what is sustainable is a decision against the insanity, and that is something we all have the opportunity and the ability to do. So
exactly, it's the fact that I go back to miracle principle number one. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. You know, any one of these things that we think are so, she had a hard time. She's had a bad life. I've had a better life because I've never been shot or, lived without plumbing or whatever. And yet the challenges that I've had in my life are equally challenging. It's not like, someone else is having a worse or better life than you or I. There is no order of difficulty. There is no order. All of illusion is the same. You can overcome one. You can overcome them all because it is only one thing. And so to look at, any difficulty that anyone is having in the world and recognize that it's no more difficult to them than, losing my vision is to me, and people will look at me and say, oh, Lynn, you poor thing. You can't see. I went with Regina yesterday. I went to her house to set up the radio computer. So now we're completely separate, between Awakening Together and ACIM Gather. And so, we were getting ready to leave and I was looking for my purse. And it was right there. It was right on the couch. And I said, I can't, do you see where I put my purse? And she said, well, it's right there. And I couldn't see it because it was, black and it was in a shadow. But I realized, wow, if I had a friend who couldn't see their stuff and it was sitting right in front of them, I would feel bad for them. And, but I don't feel bad for me. Like, that's just the way it is. Uh-huh. It whatever we're experiencing is our experience, and it is not any better or any worse than anybody else's experience. And, it's all illusion, and it's all equally the same as far as its illusory nature. And so if you can forgive one, you can forgive them all. If I can forgive, any of it, and just work on letting go of one thing, it's like all of creation is singing hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, there's where gratitude comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the gratitude of realizing that we don't have to suffer, due to identification with a thought system that's dysfunctional. We don't have to believe that we're separate from each other. And that is such a huge relief. And that is sustainable, because the more we begin and practice seeing that, our compassion with each other is warranted and deserved, because we're all, we've all subjected ourselves to this insane thought system that doesn't have any logic to it, any reason at all. It's just crazy. It's completely consistent. That's one of the things I think that another thing that Ken Walknick points out is that the two thought systems, the ego and the Holy Spirit, are completely consistent, but one of them is completely insane, and we can guess which is which by how we feel.
And the consistency of the ego thought system is a blessing. If one illusion is the same, the consistency of it just brings you to the place where you can actually see and you can predict. It's like, I can see, nobody has to tell me that this is not true. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to point out to me that this can't be real. It's the same as this other thing that I already proved to myself and saw was not real. The consistency is the salvation, because it's predictable then. You know what the ego is going to say about things. And so when you hear those things, it's not true. When you see those things, they're not true. And So that's, you know, something to be grateful to, grateful for too.
Yeah.
You know, there's no level of difficulty, and there's no, and all illusions are equally untrue.
Exactly. So any imagined shortcomings or limitations that we experience in our material world, if we start to compare and say, oh, gee, I'm so glad that I don't have that and that I, you know, have this ability and not that disability, or this circumstance or this financial situation or health situation or relationship situation, whatever, it doesn't really matter. As long as we, you know, make any kind of big deal about that, that becomes a classroom. That becomes our forgiveness classroom to look at and say, that's not bringing me peace. Those comparisons and differences, because love makes no comparisons, as the Course reminds us, as long as we're making the difference between what we may have had and don't have now, or vice versa, you know, real, or, you know, or between my quote self and your quote self, or anyone else's quote self, you know, a little less self, then that's just nuts, isn't it? It's just crazy. Well, how about go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to continue reading unless you had something to share.
No, continue reading. Yes, please.
Okay. So I think I'll start that paragraph over because I didn't get that far into it. In brief, the gratitude the Course asks us to feel toward each other is not for what you do for me or the miserable way you've treated me. It is gratitude for being able to see in you a mirror of my own self. Because it's all about the mind, huh? Seeing the, quote, sin in you, unquote, I know it is within me, and by changing my mind about you, I am changing my mind about myself. That is the source of our gratitude toward each other. Yet I cannot forgive you without a loving presence next to me, and so my gratitude to you is impossible without my also feeling grateful to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And again, that's the awareness we took with us into the dream that says, this craziness isn't true. There's a way out. I realize, in other words, that I cannot change my mind by myself, because it is myself, lowercase s, that got me into this mess, that has accused you, and that believes I can do it on my own. The John Wayne approach. Relying on this self, little s self, will only serve to keep me in hell. Thus, I recognize not only that I cannot do this without Jesus, that awareness we took with us into the dream, that we've never left perfect oneness, and that we're all completely innocent, right? But also that I cannot do it without you, because you represent a part of myself that I have split off and pushed outside me. So whenever we make a big deal out of what seems to be differences in geography or gender or financial situation or health or, you know, fill in the blank of any specific that has to do with bodies and personas and space-time stories, where that can be an opportunity for us to forgive and then be grateful.
Think about this. You know, you look at, I'm going to bring up the Donald again, because, you know, I look at him and I think he's such a symbol of everything that we hate. I mean, seriously, you know, this is not a personal thing. He is a symbol. His behavior, his words, his actions, you know, the things that he's being accused of. And, you know, I just see this as being just so, it's almost like a caricature. He's such a caricature of a real person, and it's hard to even believe that he is a real person, and therefore, you know, guess what? He's not. He is a symbol of a lot of nasty stuff that I have inside myself, and as you know, people will argue with me on this, and, you know, that's okay too, because I know they're wrong. No, people will argue. I'm kidding. People will argue with me about this. Because they'll say, well, yeah, but I'm not a bully. Yeah, but I'm not of this. Be honest with yourself. Look at your own behavior. If you are seeing it in another, it is because it's in your own mind. You can't see something that's not in your own mind. So if I'm seeing this guy as a rapist, if I'm seeing this guy as a bully, and if I'm seeing this guy as, you know, being mean to women and children, and, you know, whatever I'm accusing him of, these are all things that are inside myself. And if I do not stop to look inside myself at my own judgments, the basis that I'm using to say this is good or this is bad, looking at my own judgments and seeing how I'm doing the same thing on it, maybe it may seem like a different level. It's not a different level. If I'm being a bully, I'm being 100% bully, as worse, as bad as Donald Trump is. If I'm being a rapist, you know, which, you know, how can that be? Well, you know, it may not be something that
it's harder for women, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, there still is, you know, how many times have I forced myself on another person?
Bingo.
Maybe not sexually, but in another way.
Exactly.
Tried to make them believe something, tried to make them think something, been angry with them because they didn't agree with me. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things are intrusions and judgments. And, you know, if I don't look at my own self and see how I am doing these things, you know, I do the Byron Katie turnaround. You know, Byron Katie had, I mean, she's got it right on, because doing those turnarounds is when you actually begin to see how it is that my own behavior in some way is the same thing. And if I don't look at that, then I'm going to continue to see it. I'm going to continue to see it in the world, in another person, in another bully, in another rapist. I'm going to continue to see it until I look at it within myself and I address my own lack of forgiveness in that particular instant. And in, you know, in that case, then it all comes clear to me. And it's happened to me over and over and over where, you know, I was filled with anger and hatred toward people. And then I began to see how I myself was doing the same thing. All of a sudden, you know, the compassion, absolute compassion for that person who appears to be really trapped in that persona, trapped in that illusion, appearing to be acting in a certain way that is, you know, heinous. And yet, you know, they can't, he can no more stop doing that than I can stop breathing, until I stop seeing him that way. That's the connection between us. We're not separate entities. We are the same thing. And so as long as I'm going to continue to see sin in the world, I'm going to continue to project sin out into the world.
Exactly.
You see what you project.
Yeah, our egos aren't real, but they appear to be, each one of our egos appears to be a heinous anus, right?
Yes.
And it's just silly. It's just silly. It's anyway, one of the things that you, before I finish this paragraph, I want to just share something that triggered me. You said triggered remembrance of from this movie that he named me Malala, and a large part of the film, you know, or a significant part of the film is her family and the support and comfort and you know, connection that she had with this wonderful family, actually, and one of those prominent featured was her father, who, after he was asked about his daughter's attack and you know, the gratitude for you know, again tying into the world's gratitude, but still, you know, a feeling of gratefulness anyway. But he was talking about what happened, and he said that she was attacked by an ideology. And I thought, wow, that really, you know, that really put it, it's back to the mind. It's basically a thought system. And if we can remember that it's a thought system that appears to be an adversary and not the specific things, then we can bring it back into our own mind, which of course is scary, But that willingness to look at it, to just look, as Ken says, and of course says in so many ways, to just look, and then we see that there's nothing to it. It's that light of looking, the illumination in our mind of just looking at the craziness of the ego's thought system, seeing that my ego and your ego and Donald Trump's ego and everybody else's ego is equally insane, equally whacked out, but inconsequential in truth, that it has no effect, in other words, on changing the immortal, eternal essence of what we all are as one being. That awareness then gives us the strength to continue to forgive, because we feel more and more peaceful all the time. So anyway, I'll finish this paragraph here. I'm going to start with the sentence here. Thus I recognize not only that I cannot do this without Jesus, but that also I cannot do without you, because you represent a part of myself that I have split off and pushed outside me. And until I recognize that you are not outside me, but are really a part of me, I will never know the Christ that I am. And then it concludes with a quote from workbook lesson number 192. Your function here on earth is only to forgive him, that you may accept him back as your identity. He, and then of course that him could be the Christ of awareness, that, and it also could be any individual person that we think is outside of us, couldn't it? So I'll start that again. Your function here on earth is only to forgive him, that you may accept him back as your identity. He is as God created him, and you are what he is. Forgive him now his sins, and you will see that you are one with him. So that's a beautiful reminder that our classroom seems to be about specific people, our significant others, the people we work with, the people that we, you know, meet on the road in traffic, or in when we're out getting groceries, or, you know, whatever. It doesn't, anyone or someone we see on TV that may or may not be running for office, et cetera. But all those seeming outer characters are just part of the script that we all wrote together and divvied up the parts and had our, you know, we all signed that script together and forgot we did it. And now we get to look at that and say, oh, wow, this is my opportunity to be peaceful by bringing you back into the fold of my mind as I recognize that your alleged crimes against oneness never happened, just as mine never did. So any more comments on that, Lynn, before we
No, I think that's beautiful, though, because that is really what restores our innocence.
Yeah.
It restores our innocence. And the fact is that, again, this is all the result of a tiny mad idea that happened long ago. All of this has been written out, scripted out, and we're just following along. We're all characters in the script. And the point of it is for, at some point or another, for me to recognize, hey, wait a minute, I'm just acting like a character in the script. Mm-hmm. And so is he, and so are you, and we're all completely innocent, because we're just the actors. We're not actually doing anything. We're just the actors. Right. And so how easy it is then to forgive my brother for what never happened, what has never gone on, forgive myself for what never happened, forgive God for because God never allowed it to happen. And God would never allow a changing of, you know, what he made under any circumstance. So I'm grateful that that's the truth, and grateful that Jesus has come along to give us, you know, whatever Jesus is, whether it's a actual character in the script or it's a light in the dream, whatever that is, has come along to point out or to show us what it is that we've been forgetting, so that we can stop suffering from this belief, from these ideologies.
Right.
I love that. You know, attack by an ideology, that's really all that's happening here.
Yeah. And how silly is that? But yet, how much of the world's suffering, I would suggest all of it, it's really nothing more than some variation on that crazy theme. Huh?
Yeah. And we can choose at any time to let it go. Uh-huh. That's, I've been really looking a lot of different places in the course where Jesus explains this, and it's so very clear to me. So yeah, it's just a matter of remembering the truth about myself, remembering the truth about my brother, remembering the truth about God. And again, as Jesus said, he was a man who saw the face of Christ in everyone. How did he see the face of Christ? Because he wasn't looking at the character. He wasn't accusing people of being the characters they were playing. He was seeing them as they truly were. And when he could do that, then he remembered God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all we got to do is look at that Donald Trump and see, oh, he's just playing a character.
Right.
That's
right.
Not really who he is. I can let him off the hook. And I don't even have to dislike the things he's doing. I don't have to dislike anything, because that is adding just as much juice to it as loving it does. You know, having putting any kind of energy into the dream, all that's doing is causing more and more stress on my part, because it's like I'm trying to build an ice palace in the Bahamas. You know, I'm out here with all my blocks of ice, and I'm trying to build a palace, and all that's happening is that they're melting away. It's impossible to do. Mm-hmm. It might be possible for a moment, but it can't last. So, really, we can forgive and we can go home. I can be still an instant and go home is true. So
relief,
beautiful.
Huh?
Yeah.
And that's something we can be grateful for. That's the real gratitude that this FAQ addresses. Do you want to read the next paragraph?
Yes. Okay. So as we advance in this process of undoing the ego, our gratitude to Jesus will grow as we realize that despite all the awful ego stuff that goes on inside us, part of us knows he truly loves us, and that by accepting his love, we can accept the love that we are. And there again is that whole idea of, am I worthy of this? Am I worthy of this? And of course, the ego will tell you, no, of course you're not worthy, because you have done wrong. You are a sinner. You've hurt people. You've disappointed your mother. Called your dad a jerk, or whatever it is that we blame ourselves for. You allowed people to be murdered. You killed somebody. You know, whatever it is that I think I did wrong, to recognize that I'm truly innocent and none of that really happened. That's where gratitude comes. Mm-hmm. And knowing that because I'm innocent, God could not possibly have ever turned away from me.
Right.
That I do deserve the love. I deserve the love because of what I am, and identify myself with my Father. I know that my Father deserves the love, and therefore I do too. Whatever reason you can think of to remind yourself that you are worthy of God's love, and that accepting his love, we can accept the love that we are, is what this thing says. It says, this then does away with the ingratitude we have felt toward God, thanks to our acceptance of the ego's replacement for the true God.
Mm-hmm.
By reflecting heaven's love in his relationship with us, Jesus helps us remember the deep gratitude we feel for God as our loving creator and source. And so gratitude goes to God only for being our loving creator and source. And then we have to be able to receive. If we give gratitude to God, we have to be able to receive our own gratitude for giving gratitude, and our own gratitude for being what we are. And I think we're a long ways from that. I think we're still in the sin, guilt, and fear phase where gratitude's almost impossible. You know, I'm grateful I'm not drowning, but to the point where I'm actually able to be grateful for what I am and what you are with no exception.
Right. No contingencies.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think one of the things that you said a moment ago that kind of triggered a reminder that in the sham courtroom of the ego, you know, we're all guilty because, you know, exhibit A that's always dragged out is, look at this. Hey, you are a body. The sinful, evil, wicked self made up this thing that's separate from everything else that can never be fulfilled on the level of form or the level of mind because it's always lacking, you know, the rest of the universe. I mean, how nuts is that? How crazy is that? And yet, there's a part of us that, which is really all of us, that questions, because we got everything backwards. We think this little imaginary fragment is us because we've so practiced that, and the power of our minds is so great that we're actually able to pull off this crazy dream over an extended period that has spanned lifetimes, if we believe in reincarnation or you know, eternity, if seemingly eternity, if not. But it's still just crazy, isn't it? It's just the idea that somehow, just by existing as a separate self with a body, with a persona, with things that are different from seemingly others, that's the exhibit A of ego's condemning testimony, and it's you know, kangaroo court, sham courtroom of the mind, moment to moment, and it's just crazy. It's just silly. It's just you know, it's pointless, and eventually, you know, having tried so many different ways to beat ourselves up and each other up and reinforce it and try to make that strategy of seek but do not find, never really find peace but pretend to be looking for it, that the ego you know, puts out as its propaganda, we'll call the bluff and say, hey, there's nothing here. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
The droids you're looking for. I was just thinking that too.
Because minds are joined, Lynn. There's no other mind. There's just the one that we share, huh? So anyway, the last paragraph says, for some further commentary, see question 556, which contrasts the ego's version of gratitude with the Holy Spirit's. Excerpts from the tape album are Gratitude to God are posted on our website under Teaching Materials Excerpt Series. So that's the completion of FAQ 1226 from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, FACIM.org website, which has this wonderful 1,300 plus questions and answers on FACIMOutreach.org. And we've been reading from those pretty much weekly for quite a while. And still have a few to go. So
yeah, quite a few. You know, I was just kind of glancing up above this particular question and answer, and there is something here that I thought about saying, and I just saw it here. So it's from question number 1225, apparently. Yes, and the Jesus from the Course says, your question should not be, how can I see my brother without the body? Ask only, do I really wish to see him sinless?
Sinless. Bingo.
And so that's the question that I'm always asking. You know, am I willing to see my brother sinless? And that includes the Donald. You know, and in fact, he's the main one there that I got to be looking at is, you know, if I see him as being so heinous, you know, how am I willing to see him sinless? Because as Jesus tells us in chapter 31, I think almost the end of the book, he says, you know, if I'm just willing to see him sinless, I will achieve Christ's vision. I'll actually be able to see through the eyes of Christ. So that's not a small thing.
Right.
That's not a small thing at all.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And seeing with that vision, the differences at least for that moment, disappear. And then we do feel peace. And then that's a cumulative thing, as well as something that we eventually will make the decision once and for all to just give up on ego's, you know, pointless strategy altogether and recognize we never left. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, Bruce, I'm so excited to hear that you're getting a new place and you're going to be leaving Colorado. And you know what? I see you just as much now as I ever saw you and probably ever will see you. So, and you only live 100 miles away from me. So,
right. It's all a virtual dream, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I love it. And I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for that because it's just one more clue, one more strategy of trying to remember who we are. Mm-hmm. So yay. So I love you, Bruce. Thank you so much.
Likewise.
For spending your Saturday mornings with me.
Oh, so very mutual. Yes. And for everyone, who's listening, that's sharing this with us, cause all, and in truth, we're all one being. Minds are joined and we're all learning this curriculum together. We're all in the same boat, huh?
Exactly. So you want to talk about the Miracle Share coming up?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that reminder. Yeah. Is it weekend after next? I think it's, is it next weekend? So I think it's next weekend already, isn't
next
it?
Next weekend, I believe, yeah.
Time flies. Yeah, that's right. It's actually a week from yesterday. It's only 6 days away. A couple dozen course folk that are going to be sharing. I'm grateful to be using that word gratitude, in remembering to go for the non-temporal, non-spatial version. But, anyway, I'm happy and glad to be, part of it again for a third year. The folks at Miracle Share, Craig Villarubia and, Karine Zupko and Danielle Scruton have been putting this wonderful, 3-day, online Course in Miracles conference together. And what's cool about it is that, you know, it doesn't require any travel or hotels or gas or mileage or meals or, you know, even just doing anything other than just sitting in front of your computer and enjoy. And because it's not only spatially independent because of our technology, which can be a nice reflection of the omnipresent, eternal quality of mind, you can actually participate, quote unquote, live next weekend, or you can, if for some reason you have the next 3 days, those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next weekend, busy or even parts of it, you can watch and listen to the half hour videos and then the follow up half hour audio phone in commentary Q&As. Anytime you want. People who are interested could actually watch and listen to the previous 2 years' conferences, and they have an option for that on the website. And if you go to acimblog.com, I have a link to it. That should be easy to find. Just look for the Miracle Share conference link there, and there's a whole bunch of great folks that you will recognize many of the names. And I'm happy to be contributing to that again, and it's just fun. And I like to during the Q&A sessions, as well as the videos that are pre-recorded, share fun things that come to mind in the chat window. And so it's a virtual conference with all kinds of connections going on, and so I encourage anyone who's interested in A Course in Miracles that would like to participate in that, and particularly those who may not be able to make it to some of the physical conferences. It's a great opportunity to connect with people and share not only in the live chat that goes along with the videos and the audios, but there's a community that happens in virtual space that way. So anyway, you can find more about that at acimblog.com, and look forward to connecting with you there as well as elsewhere. So thanks.
Very good. Yeah. All right. You're welcome. Thank you, Bruce. And I've posted the link for acimblog.com and lots of great things on that blog also. Lots of great interviews and discussions. And Bruce is a busy guy. So and plus he has an actual job and a business and he works and does stuff. So this is
And again, being cognizant of the two kinds of gratitude, I'm going to say I'm grateful that most of my WordPress web design business, and an increasing amount over the last few years has become, course related websites. So in fact, the biggest project I've been working on the last few months is, for the Foundation for Inner Peace. And, that new site is getting really close now to being ready to unveil and to launch. So we're thrilled about that. I just did a new header for that last night, and it's looking pretty snazzy even. So.
All right. Oh, I love it. That makes me really happy. And I am grateful for you too as well, Bruce. I'm grateful to all my brothers, and you know, every single one of us is a part of the puzzle. So it's the
exactly.
learning to remember and love each other for what we are that really makes a huge difference. So
And when we're truly grateful, and that gratitude is not dependent on any specifics, then it makes it easier for the reflection to mirror that. It doesn't always, but it can. But then brings the mind back to the place where we're grateful for the choice for that thought system, and that doesn't have to change.
Exactly. And the joy that comes from that is immeasurable, I can tell you that. So thank you so much, Bruce Rawls, and I will
thank
talk
you,
to you next week, and I guess we're going to hear the adventure of moving.
Again.
It's lovely. All right.
Things of dreams. Yeah.
All right, Bill, thank you so much. And I hope that your new place isn't underwater now with the typhoon going on.
I know. They're getting quite a storm out there, I understand. So,
All right, sweetie. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Love to everyone.
And thanks once again. And thank you, everyone, for joining us here at the House of the Risen Sun. Bye, all.
Bye for now.